This is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Fino Fanua Mololele. Critics are questioning whether the United States will commit $810 million in funding towards Pacific nations and territories. U.S. President Joe Biden announced a declaration agreement with 15 Pacific nations and territories last week. Victoria University of Wellington politics professor Jean Franco says it's not the first time the U.S. has prompted greater re-engagement with the Pacific.
In 2011, there was a lot of hoo-ha about President Barack Obama's pivot to the Asia Pacific. And this was also going to bring large amounts of new U.S. aid. The U.S. was going to re-engage with the Pacific Island region. So while the aid package is to be positive that the U.S. is seeking to put more assistance into the region, we should remember that last time that didn't necessarily amount to that much.
Solomon Islands Foreign Minister Jeremiah Manella says the country asked for some references to be changed before it signed a partnership with the U.S. Along with a dozen Pacific Island nations, the Solomon Islands signed up to the 11-point declaration in Washington, D.C. last week, despite initially signaling it would not agree. Manella says the country was not comfortable with some things in the initial draft, but they were able to find common ground.
There were some references that that put us in a position that we'll have to choose sides, and we don't want to be placed on a position that we have to choose sides. So there was understanding, and there is understanding on that, and the draft was accommodative, and we signed on to it.
The Solomon Islands signed a security partnership with China in March, but Mr. Manella again stressed no military base would be built. Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown has expressed his satisfaction with the outcomes of the recent U.S. Pacific Islands Summit in Washington, D.C. Mr. Brown says he is particularly pleased with President Biden's announcement at the summit to officially recognize the Cook Islands as a sovereign state. He says that the recognition opens the door to greater representation at international forums.
The highlight of that particular meeting for us was the U.S. officially recognizing us as a sovereign state, which really is the first steps towards the Cook Islands now being able to establish formal diplomatic relations with America, but also with this recognition, representation of our country at other international fora, which is just the natural progression of it.
A senior French military official is expected to release previously classified information about France's nuclear weapons tests in French Polynesia. The French High Commissioner to French Polynesia, Eric Spitz, says this disclosure set for November is in line with the promise of transparency made by French President Emmanuel Macron. Christina Persico reports.
The French leader had promised to turn a page in the relationship between France and French Polynesia, which is marred by the testing. The impact of the tests continues to be highly contested as veterans groups keep demanding France pay compensation for those affected. Since 1995, the local health system has paid out $800 million to treat a total of 10,000 people suffering from any of the 23 cancers recognised by law as being the result of radiation. Between 1966 and 1996, France carried out more than 190 tests in the South Pacific, with the test sites remaining no-go zones monitored by France.
Another assembly member of French Polynesia's ruling Tapura Huriratira party has announced his defection, saying he'll join the opposition Ahera Ia Parinetia party. Bernard Natua is the latest in a series of resignations from the Tapura party, which last month lost three senior members, including former Vice President Teva Rosfrich. Despite these four departures, the party still has a comfortable majority in the assembly. The Tapura leadership has acknowledged that Mr. Natua advised it of his decision, but noted that he hadn't made his move official yet. Mr. Natua, who represents Rangiroa, already resigned from the Tapura party in 2020, but returned to the party 10 months later. President Volodymyr Zelensky says fierce fighting continues in a number of areas as Ukrainian forces push ahead with offensives in the east and south of the country. Moscow has admitted that Ukraine has made advances towards the city of Kherson. The BBC's Hugo Bachega is in Kiev.
This is the most significant breakthrough by Ukraine in the south since the start of its counteroffensive. After weeks of heavy fighting and almost no movement, troops have advanced along the strategic Dnipro River, liberating several villages in the Kherson region. The progress threatens supply lines for thousands of Russian troops in the area. In the east, Ukrainian forces have been reinforcing their positions after recapturing the key town of Liman and are moving towards Luhansk. Ukraine is making gains in regions President Putin has annexed in a move Kyiv and the international community have dismissed as illegal.
The Italki, or Fijian language, is under threat of extinction despite its impression of common use amongst its people, claims Fijian linguist. Language scholar Dr. Paul Garifi says a growing generational gap within the Italki language has been detected, highlighting a need for attention. Dr. Garifi says the extent of knowledge for Italki vocabulary and its diversity through the different dialects have reduced significantly over the years.
Young people of today, especially in urban areas, do not speak as well as their parents and grandparents. They don't have the same vocabulary, the same knowledge. So that's something to be concerned about. People are losing their distinctness. In other words, all the time, the language is becoming more like what I would call standard Fijian or Fijian of the urban centres.
Penrith's back-to-back NRL Premiership winners, James Fisher-Harris, Moses Leota and Scott Sorensen are among six grand finalists named in the Kiwis' 24-strong squad for the Rugby League World Cup in England, which starts this month. The Panthers beat the Eels 28-12 in last weekend's NRL Grand Final in Sydney, with Parramatta Eels players Dylan Brown, Isaiah Papali'i and Morata Niokore also included in the New Zealand side. The Kiwis are one of the pre-tournament favourites, but coach Michael Maguire concedes defending champions Australia are still the team to beat.
They've got the runs on the board. I mean, the history tells it. You know, they're obviously the carriers of the World Cup over a long period of time. So some of the other nations too, like Samoa and Tonga, you know, they've definitely been able to get a lot of quality in their teams. England, you can't underestimate any team.
Veteran forwards Jared Waryar-Hargreaves and Isaac Liu plus fullback centre Sjarne Nicole Klodstad are also back in the squad, while Sorensen, Jeremy Marshall-King and Sebastian Chris are set to make their QE debut. The Black Ferns are dealing with a mixture of emotions as they prepare for the Rugby World Cup, which kicks off in Auckland this weekend. New Zealand are defending champions and will play Australia in their opening game. Assistant coach Whitney Hansen says many players aren't even sure what they are supposed to be feeling in the final countdown to the tournament.
There's a lot of emotion going around, and I think there's some feelings people don't know how to feel. There's definitely a bit of excitement in there. There's probably a bit of the unknown. Probably mostly, I think the feeling is just a readiness. Been a long time coming, and we're excited to play.
Over 35,000 tickets have so far been sold for Eden Park on Saturday. Meanwhile, All Blacks fullback come midfielder Jordy Barrett has signed a new contract, keeping him with the Hurricanes and New Zealand Rugby until the end of 2025. That's it for RNZ Pacific News and Sport. You can find more updates at rnzi.com.